I invite you to turn with me to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. I want to look at the first 7 verses of that chapter. Hope you'll follow along as I read there. 2 Timothy chapter 1, beginning at verse 1. I love to hear the Bible pages turning. That's awesome. 2 Timothy 1, beginning at verse 1. Paul, an apostle, one who met the Lord Jesus Christ himself, one who was called by the Lord Jesus Christ to be his witness. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, according to the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you, so that I may be filled with joy. I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded, I am convinced, I have utmost conviction. I thoroughly believe it, Timothy. It now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God did not give us a spirit of timidity, but a spirit of power, of love, and of self-discipline. Will you pray with me? Father, we thank you for the truth that is before us. We desperately need to hear from you. Holy Spirit, we confess readily. We cannot grasp what is before us without your work in our lives. And we certainly can't practice what you teach us unless you equip us, unless you strengthen us, unless you so grace us. So help us to hear the word. Till the soil of our hearts. Give us a hunger and a thirst for your truth that will be satisfied by none other. And then grant us your strength that we might follow through. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. What do you tell your graduate when they're headed off to college? Or off to work, or into the world, so to speak? What do you tell them? Come on, I need some help because I've got to face that in the next year, and then a couple years after that, and then a few years after that. I need to know what works. What do you tell them? I kind of see Timothy getting one of those talks from Paul. You understand, Paul writes this from Rome. He's in prison. His life is not long for this world. Timothy is his beloved son. You can trace back in Acts how he comes through on a second missionary journey. Quite possibly Timothy was saved on the first one, and he comes through, and maybe he's kept up with Timothy, and he knows Timothy's character, and he knows Timothy's walk with the Lord. And now he has set Timothy aside with the elders to serve the Lord. And Paul knows that soon this is sort of a graduation for Timothy. And soon Timothy will face the spiritual battle without Paul. What do you tell him, Paul? How do you encourage him? It seems as you go through 2 Timothy, particularly in chapter 3, the spiritual battle, the conflict, the persecutions, the difficulty, that's commonplace. Get used to it. It's a real battle out there. There is heaven. There is God. There is Christ Jesus, God in human flesh. He does transform people out of darkness and into the light. He does call people unto himself to serve him. And there is an opposing darkness. And so the battle wages on. And it's no different today than it was in the day that Paul penned these words to Timothy. But he understood that soon he would depart. And Timothy, you gotta go. And it seems as though Timothy was not nearly as bold as was Paul. It seemed like Timothy was sort of bashful, sort of timid. And so Paul writes some words to encourage him. I think Timothy needed some encouragement. I think in the near future, Paul understood he would be left to face the opposition, the trials, the suffering, the spiritual battle. In our denomination, I look around at times at General Assembly and I see some of the godly men who fought, who were laughed at, who were scorned prior to the forming of the PCA. And I see these godly men advanced in years, and I look to my right and I see men who helped pen our Book of Church Order, to whom I can go and say, Jack, what did you mean when you wrote these words? Why did you craft it this way? And as I look at one Jack Williamson, I realize he's not long for this world. And I think to myself, what then? Who will stand in the gap then? Who will be the spiritual leaders then? And I gotta ask myself if Timothy might have felt the same. Paul, you can't go. I can't do this by myself. What do you tell a timid Timothy? Well, what do you tell a graduate when they encounter that freshman year in college, and as some parents have told me, they hit the spring and there's no way to get through? What do you tell them? What do you tell them when they face the temptations without mom and dad leaning over them? How would you encourage Timothy? What would be your last writing to him? Let me show you a couple of things, three to be exact, that I want to point out. There are other things in here, but three things that Paul points out to Timothy, and the first is in verse 2. He gives him some gifts from God. Grace, mercy, and peace from God. Okay, don't just go by that like it was some, you know, just, well, those are formal words of introduction. No. When your phone rings, what you recognize that it's ringing, and what do you do next? You look at the number, don't you? And if you choose to answer whoever is on that other line, you answer the phone. If not, you don't, but you want to know who it is. Well, it only made sense when Paul wrote letters. That's how they did it. I think we do it backwards. We practice some sort of humility maybe in signing our name at the end, but that people want to know who's writing. And so they ask that question first. Paul identifies himself, but it's not a mere salutation. And we could spend some time in verse 1 how he identifies himself. My point, though, is to take you to verse 2. And it's not just a salutation. It's not just a greeting. It's not just, yo, how you doing? It's grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father. Now, time out for a minute and put your tent up right there just for a moment. Remember, Timothy's fighting the battle. Remember, Paul's attempting to encourage this young man in the faith, in the calling that God has given to him. And he says, grace. What is that? Well, you saw it this morning. You heard it against your window pane. It's God's grace that he gives to us the rain. It's God's grace that I can breathe this day. It's God's grace that you have a family such as you have in this place. Do you take for granted those seated next to you? Or do you recognize those individuals next to you as a gift from God and his grace? You don't deserve the faith family. by the way, you guys are awesome. What a gracious privilege to be your pastor. You have any idea what a privilege that is? That's grace. It extends out from the Father in the giving of His Son that I might be His. And out of that, all good things come to His children. That's His grace. I deserve none of them. Neither do you. But I have His grace. And I need to tack that word on my mirror, on my refrigerator, on my windshield. Because God's grace is abundant every day of my life if I would but take the time to recognize it. But you see, when I refuse to recognize that, I am more easily overcome by the circumstances in which I find myself. Grace and mercy. Mercy is that God doesn't really give me what I deserve. That God doesn't, as some of you know, doesn't pull out His theological thumper and get rid of me. That's His mercy. He doesn't give me as I deserve. Don't raise your hand. How many of you failed Him today? How many of you said something this very day in the rush of getting everybody ready into the car, herding the cats, getting them into the car, and getting to church? How many of you said something that you, I didn't say anything. How many of you thought something you shouldn't have? How many of you ran somebody off the road on the way to church today? Maybe somebody took the parking place you wanted and you prayed an imprecatory psalm against them before you got in the sanctuary. Why doesn't God give us what we deserve for that sin? Because He chooses not to. And He administers His mercy through His Son, Jesus Christ, to you and me. Don't you dare take His mercy for granted. He's merciful that we might repent and come to Him and experience the forgiveness that's ours in Christ and walk with Him. This is no mere salutation. He gives to Timothy God's grace. He gives to Timothy God's mercy, and it's out of God's unmerited favor and out of His withholding what I truly deserve. You can draw an arrow from those two to the idea that today I am at peace with the living God. I want to switch something around because you've heard people say, yes, I've made my peace with God. I haven't made my peace with God. He made it with me. See, if I made my peace with God, how do I know He's not going to get ticked off in the near future? But when I know that He is the one who initiates that peace through Christ Jesus, I can live with joy, knowing that I have peace with the living God. I am no longer under His wrath. I no longer have His condemnation. Now, if that doesn't do something about your timidity, I don't know what will. And so Paul says to Timothy, Timothy, here's God's grace. Here's God's mercy. Here's God's peace. You're at peace with the living God. He signed an eternal peace treaty with you in the blood of His Son. You just want to jazz Timothy? Tell him about God's grace. Tell him about God's mercy. Tell him about God's peace. Our world's looking for that peace, and they can't find it without Christ. Second thing that Paul does for Timothy astounds me, as it should you. Do you know what Paul gives to Timothy? God's grace, God's mercy, and God's love or peace. Second thing that Paul does in these verses is he just loves Timothy. Now you can trace this back in Acts 16. You can go to Philippians 2 and you can see this special relationship that Paul has for this Timothy. And Paul is like a father to his son Timothy. And he's invested in him and he's taken him alongside and he's done ministry with him and he's watched the work of God. He's watched that grace and mercy and peace begin to blossom in this young man's life. And Paul encourages him. How cool is that? This giant in the faith encourages him. He loved him. Watch this. Verse 3. I thank God, whom I serve, as my forefathers did, with a clear conscience as day and night. Anytime, I constantly remember you in my prayers. Paul just told Timothy, Timothy, I thank God for you. Your graduates need to know that. Your husband needs to know that. Your wife needs to know that. Your parents need to know that. Timothy, I thank God whom I serve. And I constantly remember you in my prayers. When's the last time you called somebody up and said, I just wanted you to know that I prayed for you today? When's the last time you picked up a postcard or a letter and you just penned a few words? I quickly forget to pray. And so I like to do it when somebody asks me to. I've done it standing right here when somebody says, would you pray for me? And I know my absent-mindedness and I'll say, let's do it right now. Don't think I'm super spiritual. I just know if I don't do it when I'm thinking about it, I might not think about it later. And this week, I got some prayer requests from a missionary. You know what I did? I penned a prayer for that couple and for God in their ministry. Not because I'm super spiritual, but because if I don't do it then, I'll probably forget. You want to encourage somebody? Tell them that you're praying for them, that you're thankful for them. They need to hear it. And Paul doesn't only pray for them, he remembers. He says, Timothy, I remember a tender moment. I remember your tears. He doesn't say exactly when that happened. Maybe it was one of the times that Paul was departing and Timothy was sad to see him go. And he says, I remember, Timothy. And I look forward, Timothy. I look forward to the day when I get to be with you. You don't think when Timothy arrived at heaven, Paul was there to greet him? Dude, high five. I am so glad to see you. Timothy was his son in the faith. And he loved that man. And he prayed for that man. And he encouraged that man. If he'd have had it, Paul probably would have even emailed him. Share the love of God that you have for another individual and encourage them. Don't be like the husband who said, I told you I loved you when I married you, and if it ever changes, I'll let you know. Tell her that you love her. Tell your kids. I don't care how old they are. Ah, they're too old for that. No, they're not. My poor children are going to hear it from now on. Tell them that. Pray for them. Thank God for them. Encourage them. Do that for one another as you already do. And watch God encourage the body at Faith and beyond. The last thing I want to pick up on is what Paul does for Timothy as he looks back. He gives him some of the gifts of God. He loves him and he lets him know it. And then he pictures the past. He pulls up on remote control a picture of Timothy's past. Let me tell you what you got, Timothy. Now, you need to understand something. If you go back to Acts, you will discover that Timothy's mother was a real Jew, if you can understand what I'm saying. She believed the Old Testament scriptures. She was Jewish in character and in upbringing, and yet she was a completed Jew. She believed in Christ. She was a believer. Now, it says that his dad was a Greek, and it seems to put the two in opposition, and so probably Timothy's dad was not a believer. So don't think for a minute he just had this rosy background upbringing. Don't think that. But Paul does take him back to a couple of positive notes. He had a grandmama, Lois, who knew the Lord. He says, Timothy, look back. You had a grandmama who knew the Lord. She believed in Christ. And you had a mama who knew the Lord as well, Timothy. Eunice. Oh, and you need to go over to chapter 3 of 2 Timothy. And in that context, verses 14 and 15, he talks about the struggle. He talks about the persecutions that Timothy endures, will endure. And in verse 14, he says, but as for you, Timothy, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from who you learned it. Who, Timothy? And how from infancy, what happened from infancy to Timothy? You have known the Holy Scriptures. Timothy, your mother and her mother held you in their laps and taught you the Word of God. Dude, you better grab hold of that. I added that word dude. That wasn't in the original. You better hold on to that. You better understand the blessing that you have that stems from God's grace and mercy. Four scholars were arguing over Bible translations. One said he preferred the King James Version because of its beauty, its eloquent Old English. Another said he preferred the American Standard Bible for its literalism, the way it moves the reader from passage to passage with confident feelings of accuracy from the original text. A third man preferred Moffat because of its quaint, penetrating use of words, the turn of a phrase that captures the attention of the reader. After giving the issue further thought, the fourth scholar admitted this: I have personally preferred my mother's translation. You're right. Yes, she translated it. She translated each page of the Bible into life. It's the most convincing translation I ever saw. Say, well, Carl, my mother didn't know the Lord. Or maybe my grandmother didn't know the Lord. Or maybe I didn't have that heritage. I won't ask for a show of hands, but I'll bet a bunch of you did. But there's somebody on your rewind button that God introduced to you. It might have been a dear friend. It might have been an absolute stranger. It may have been your parents. And by the way, I love to see that. I hear the stories, and you get some of them, how you parents have the opportunity to lead your kids to Christ. We pray for that when we baptize them. Somebody introduced you to Christ. That's your heritage. You need to thank God for that. They didn't just happen to be in your life. The sovereign God placed them there. So Paul encourages Timothy. Timothy, I know about the battle. It's real. It's commonplace. I don't want you to be discouraged. I don't want you to be timid. Man, I want you to charge full steam ahead. Why? Well, because of God's grace and His mercy. Because of God's peace. And I want you to know I love you and I'm praying for you. I dare you to find one of our youth that stood a little bit ago, or one of these children. Some of you are already doing it, and we have opportunity at the beginning of the school year, but don't wait till then. Go up to one of them and go, You know what? I want to pray for you on a regular basis. What are some things that I can pray for? Tackle one of these graduates. Do it out in the hallway so they don't hit a pew. But tackle them and say, hey, how can I pray for you? What's happening in your life now? Where to now? What can I pray for? And he does all of that in Timothy's life, and he takes all of that encouragement, and then he says, Timothy, get out your fan, buddy, and start blowing. Start fanning. Take the gift that God's given you, put it into practice. Well, I'm a little bit bashful. Don't you dare be bashful to exercise the calling God's placed on your life, whether it's a professional Christian or a Christian professional. Don't you dare shy away from fanning into flame the gift that God's put on your life. Why? Because of his grace and mercy. Why? Because you are loved by this body and prayed for by its leadership. Why? Because you have a heritage, whether it started with an absolute stranger or whether it started with your great-great-great-great-grandmother. It doesn't matter. It starts ultimately with the living God who placed into your life an investment. Don't you back off from it. But by his strength and his grace, you exercise the gift that he's given you. That's what he's telling Timothy to do. I don't know how many of you have seen the movie Facing the Giants. There's a scene in that movie called The Death Crawl. They were facing some team later that week, and they were kind of puny. They didn't feel like they could beat the other team, and Brock was the leader on the team. And the coach, after one of Brock's comments, pulled him out onto the field and told him he wanted to do the death crawl and he wanted him to give him his best. Brock said, you want me to go 30 yards? He said, 50. Well, if you don't know, the death crawl is on feet and hands, no knees. You put a guy on your back, back to back, and that guy's responsible for holding on to your shoulder pads. And he starts Brock off blindfolded going down the field. He wants his best. And the coach finally at the end is on his hands and knees yelling at Brock, don't you quit. Don't you give up. Keep going. Give me your best. Keep on. And he takes him the length of the field. And Brock's crying out, it hurts. I'm in pain. Don't you quit. Don't you give up. You can do this. Keep going, he says. And he collapses in the other end zone 100 yards later. There's a funny scene when the kid gets off of him and he says, Brock, you're a leader on this team. I depend upon you. You just carried a 140-pound football player the length of this field. And the kid standing up goes, Coach, I weigh 160. And I kind of see this letter to Timothy as Paul going, don't you quit. Don't you give up. Don't you back down. Charge forward in the face of this spiritual battle. Don't stop, Timothy, because you have with you the peace, the grace, and the mercy of the living God. Because you have my prayers and my thanksgiving. And I love you, Timothy, and I long to be with you. And because of the heritage that God has given you in your mother and your grandmother. Got any cheerleaders like Coach in Brock's life? Do you have any of those? Are you one? Pray with me. Father, your word is truth. Amazing how you, in the life of Timothy, used his mom and his grandmother. Amazing how your grace and mercy and peace was poured out in his life. Amazing how you surrounded him with one Paul. A giant in the faith. Amazing how you used him as you launched him forward as a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we be encouragers one of another. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.